May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I found a story yesterday that I thought would really go with the lessons today, maybe in an abstract way, but I really feel that it works. It's called Frightened Sparrows. One raw winter night, the man heard an irregular thumping sound outside against the kitchen storm door. He went to a window and watched as tiny, shivering sparrows, attracted to the evident warmth inside, beat in vain against the glass. Touched, the farmer bundled up and trudged through the fresh snow to open the barn door for the struggling birds. He turned on the lights and tossed some hay in a corner and sprinkled a trail of saltine crackers to direct them to the barn. But the sparrows, which had scattered in all directions when he emerged from the house, still hid in the darkness, afraid of him. He tried various tactics, circling behind the birds to drive them toward the barn, tossing cracker crumbs in the air toward them, retreating to his house to see if they'd flutter into the barn on their own. Nothing worked. He, a huge alien creature, had terrified them. The birds could not understand that he actually desired to help them. He withdrew to his house and watched the doomed sparrows through a window. As he stared, a thought hit him like lightning from a clear blue sky. If only I could become a bird, one of them, just even for a moment, then I wouldn't frighten them. I could show them the way to warmth and safety. At the same moment, another thought dawned on him. He had grasped the whole principle of the incarnation. A man's becoming a bird is absolutely nothing compared to God becoming a man. The concept of a sovereign being, our Creator, as big as the universe that He created, confining Himself to a human body, was and is too much for some people to believe. By God doing that, coming as Jesus, as a man, just as we are, it really did make it easier for us to be able to recognize Him, to understand Him, and to relate and know that He relates to us. Our God, as we see in these lessons, God is personally involved with each and every one of us. And now, through Jesus' incarnation, we know how much God loves us, how committed He is to us, and how very, very determined He is to save us, all of us. And we also know how much we are valued and truly loved by our God. We are loved, and we are important. For me, the lessons today are all about trusting in God, but trusting in His ways and how He wants us to be saved and how He goes about His business. Well, as we started off in the collect, we say, Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things, both in heaven and earth. Well, yes, that's true. We know that, but oops, we tend to still want to do things in our own way and listen to our thoughts, our ideas, rather than God. For whatever reason that we don't trust in God, for whatever reason, it might be that we're controlling. It might be that we're very arrogant or self-absorbed or conceited or it might be that we're insecure or fearful. We are to trust God more than we trust ourselves. And sometimes that is a little bit hard to do, but that's what he's calling us to. And in Jeremiah, we can see right off the bat how God's relationship with all of us, all of his creation, is personal, intimate, and extremely faithful and patient. So it starts off, Jeremiah says, God says, because he was prophesying for God, he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. So I have appointed you as a prophet of the nations." Now let's think about that. Here, God Almighty is telling Jeremiah that I knew you before I even created you, and I've got this plan for you. The Creator was talking to Jeremiah. But what does Jeremiah say? "Then I said, Ah, Lord, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." In other words, oh God, you don't know what you're doing. You absolutely don't know what you're doing. I'm just a boy. Forget it. I can't do this. Jeremiah forgot that God knows best, even though all of us don't think that at the time. But what did God say? Did he get angry? No. He loves Jeremiah as he loves us, and he says, "Don't say I'm only a boy. Don't be afraid of them, because I'm going to be there. I'm going to deliver you, and I'm going to give you the words what to say." Even though Jeremiah wasn't trusting in God quite enough, he still loved God enough that he said yes. He said yes to God. So Jeremiah's love for God won out. He was willing to let go of his fear, and he was willing to let God direct him, teach him, guide him, and use him. All because of love. And that's what God's interested in. And that brings us, guess what, right to 1 Corinthians, the chapter all about love. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but I do not have love," basically I'm annoying. Or I'm irritating. That's what St. Paul is telling us. "If I have prophetic powers, I understand all mysteries. I have all knowledge of all faith, and I'm just so remarkable. I can remove mountains, but I don't have love." Is God impressed? No. Because I am nothing without love. And then let's say I'm generous and I give all my possessions away. I even hand over my entire body so that I can boast, but do not have love. What does that get me? Nothing, because I don't have love. So I gain nothing. St. Paul goes on and he defines love. Love is patient, kind, not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude, and actually not even insecure or fearing. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable, resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. Ever be like a kid or somebody at the workplace, somebody else does something wrong, and you think to yourself, "Oh, thank God, it wasn't me. Somebody else can take the heat." Nah, we're not supposed to rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoice in the truth. And then love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And God's love, the way we're supposed to love, never ends. And remember just a couple of weeks ago, St. Paul said, "Strive for the greater gift." Well, what is the greater gift? The very last line tells us, "The greatest of these is love." So that brings us to the gospel. The gospel shows a barrier of fear in a way, and a barrier of arrogance, because arrogance, I think, in an abstract way, is fear, because those who are arrogant tend to not be too secure. But either way, whatever the barrier is, it's not good. So Jesus began to speak in the synagogue where they all were in Nazareth. Everything was going along fine. What did they say? All spoke of him well, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They were impressed because, wasn't this Joseph's son? Well, it all changed. Why? Because Jesus didn't say exactly what they wanted. It was a wake-up call for them because they were not aware of the needs of others. They were just aware of themselves. They were kind of arrogant because they were the descendants of Abraham. And God didn't send Jesus just for the Jews, just for the descendants of Abraham. God sent Jesus for everyone. So Jesus goes on and he says, but the truth is, here's their wake-up call. There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. To them, they were enraged because she was a Gentile, she wasn't a Jew. And then he has another example. There was also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian, and he was their enemy. God forbid that God should save their enemy. They wanted God to save only the way they wanted God to save. They weren't willing to love, to listen to Jesus, to listen to God, and to obey him. So everything was going great until Jesus wanted to show them God's way. They were enraged. They were jealous because God wasn't saving them the way they wanted to be saved. In fact, Jesus wasn't the type of Messiah that they really expected. They wanted somebody to come in on a white horse, almost with a machine gun, and get all their enemies, get them out of the way. That is not how God saved us. God saved us through Jesus. God saved the Gentile. God saved the poor, the ignorant, the annoying, the righteous, the infidels. God is willing to save everyone, all of our enemies, everyone, no matter what. All we have to do is turn to him. So God came just as we are, just like the story about the man trying to save the birds. We can recognize him. We can have a personal relationship. We can depend on him because God loves me, God loves you, and he wants each and every one of us to share that good news and to realize that he wants all people in his creation be reconciled and saved back to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.